So as we talked about last week, we're right in the middle of Mark's gospel. The beginning leads to this moment, and the end is the actual unfolding of what is shared in these chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Mark's gospel tonight. This is the second prediction. Last week was the first, this is the second. That this Savior of the world, this great Messiah, was not a Messiah as they had anticipated, was not a Messiah as they had somehow come to interpret from all of the hopes and scriptures given and promised to the Jew. That this Messiah was not a Messiah who was to become king, ruler, a person of great fame and wealth. It was a Messiah who had to suffer an ignominious form of death, death on a cross, suffering and death. And as a result of that death, then the crown, then the promise fulfilled, the promise given to each one of us of eternal life. And so he once again shares with the disciples, and Mark again places these great men and women following Christ, dumbfounded by this. They don't know what to make of it. Today, Mark says, they don't even want to talk to him about it. You and I know when there are unpleasant things, we sometimes don't want to discuss it. So they just remain silent. But the kicker today is that when they get into the house after this journey to Capernaum, he asks them, because he overhears, what were you talking about? What were you arguing about? Their response to the descriptive of our Lord was who was to be the first in the kingdom. So here he is predicting this horrendous death, ultimately and finally his resurrection, and they still don't get it. They still believe he's going to be king. And one of them will be chief of staff. That's what they're looking for. They're looking to become the chief of staff. And he doesn't know what to say to them. Secondly, he takes then this child, places the child in the room, and says, if you want to be a part of this kingdom, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be like this child, because it is here that the kingdom of God will be found. Now, the child in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ amounted to nothing. A child was like barter. A child had no rights. A child had no place. It was the lowest of all the ranks of the human condition. And so this child becomes the absolute turnaround, upside down, of what they were expecting, what they thought the kingdom was about. And our Lord uses this child as a descriptive, as clearly as he can say it, that that's what the kingdom was about. Not fame, not fortune, not power, not prestige, ignominious death. And from that death, the promise and gift of life. And we're going to hear this one more time, so don't get too excited. But there it is, because there's three times in Mark's gospel. And so what's the practical, what does it mean? Well, certainly I think for all of us it means that it's part of the journey. That you and I are people who I think, you know, want to be in charge. Now, we song and dance it a little bit because we know that our Lord has said to us, you know, don't be getting big fat heads and wanting the great fame and wanting to be the center. And so what do? We say, well, this is, maybe you don't, I do. I want to be the leader. I want to be in charge. Maybe I'd like to be Pope, you know, but it's all for a good reason. It's all, you know, because then I can serve better. So whatever we song and dance and create in our minds, we suggest that it's only to serve. Well, I'm not so sure of that. I mean, I suppose partly it is that. But I bet it's probably a bit mixed in what our intentionality is. Looking for fame, looking for fortune, looking for heads of departments, looking to be kings, queens. But it's in us. It's in all of us. And so our Lord is cautioning us that ultimately and finally it is about service. Ultimately and finally it's about not so much our fame and fortune, but it's about how we care for those who have so far less. I've often conjured up on my mind that when I get to heaven and our Lord is there at the throne, he's not going to ask the billionaires of the world, what do you think of Lloyd Torgerson? Because I'm going to be good to those folks because, you know, they can help me. He's going to ask someone who was, I don't know, cleaning floors and washing dishes. What do you think of Lloyd Torgerson? That's the test. The test is how we treat not those who can return favor. The test is how we can serve those who have less. Now, you can doll up that gospel any way you like it, and we can conjure up in our minds all kinds of things, but I think that's at the heart of what our Lord is saying to us tonight. But I think there's a second thought, my last thought. John Shea, he has a wonderful second thought about this gospel. He is suggesting that the least is not about those who have less. He suggests this. The least means the bare, the basic material that is common to all of us. It is beneath the accumulation of possessions and also beneath the lack of them as well. The gospel language, it means to welcome the Son of Man in every person. And then he quotes Carl Rogers. Carl Rogers, as you know, was the great person in charge of client-centered therapy. It's not about the facts, it's about the person. And Carl Rogers spent most of his time working to try to develop not just theories, but try to work with people in relationship to their own good health. This is what Carl Rogers says. Before every session, I take a moment and I remember my humanity. There is no experience that this person that I'm about to see, that this person that I'm about to see has, that cannot share, that I cannot share with him or her. No fear that I cannot understand. No suffering that I cannot care about. Because I too am human. I too am vulnerable. And because of this, I am enough. So what John Shea is suggesting to us tonight is this gospel is not just about our care for the least among us, but what is least in all of us. And what is least in all of us when we peel away all of the masks, all of the titles, all of the possessions, what is least, what is foundational, what is first, what is right at the heart and center of all of our lives, is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in every one of us. All of us. That's the least. And so therefore he can say the least will be the first, because it is the first. It's the very foundational thing of who each one of us ultimately and finally are. And so if we can be like Carl Rogers, who remembers our humanity, who remembers our sin, who remembers our addictions, who remembers our struggles, then we are not going to be people of arrogance, judgment. We will be people of compassion, because we will see in every person, everyone, That underneath all of this stuff, there is that foundational least in each of us. The first, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dwells in all of us. So, my brothers and sisters, we say all are welcome. We say that because we mean it. I'm not so sure individually we say it and mean it, but we attempt to do it, I hope. I found an astounding statistic last week. 25% of this nation less than in the year 2000 has a friend, an intimate personal friend, who disagrees with them politically in mind and heart. What are we doing? 25% less people are willing to engage in a relationship with someone who possibly has a different take on the political process of life. This world is harsh. This world is difficult, my brothers and sisters. It needs our compassion. It needs our heart. It needs to be able to understand in our lives who we really are. All of us, the least of us. So I hope tonight that somehow, some way, as we continue our journey in our week, we come to understand that, and I know you've heard me say this a ton of times and you probably don't always agree with it, but it's not about our assent. It's not about just what we think. Whether it's in the church, God knows we struggle with that. Whether it's in the political world, whether it's in, I don't know, all kinds of things. That's not what really matters. I mean, it matters. Yes, it matters. It matters what we think. But what matters more, it seems to me, is that we are all the same. I'm you and you are me. We are us. And when you really peel away all of those things, at the heart and the center is that Savior. The least in us, the foundational thing in us. And so we need to journey together. We need to honor each other's walk. We need to welcome each other. We need not in our church, in our cities, in our worlds, you know, compartmentalize people, stigmatize people, push people into certain boxes and corners of life. It's of no value, I think. Yet we do it. We do it even in the name of Jesus Christ. My goodness me alive. And so we journey together. We journey in this great family. We pray that we will continue to be that reality in this community of faith, where all are welcome. For all receive the power and the gift and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen.